Don't you worry about a thing. Jesus Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Pittsburgh Bud.
We're mostly coming to you live. Bud is out in Pittsburgh. I am in slightly overcast Des Moines. Because honesty is our first policy, we're not quite live. We're the day before. We're recording because I'm actually going to be out while you're listening to this talking to priests about millennials, which is going to be pretty hilarious, and hopefully I have all my jobs when I get back. We're coming to you from Mercy Live Up Studio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, and streaming live, iowacatholicradio.com. And if you have the Iowa Catholic Radio app from the which we thank People's Blessman's Company and the People's Abstract Company, excuse me, you can listen to us darn near tootin' anywhere. Bud, you say you're in Pittsburgh. How's it going? How's the French fries?
It's going all right. You know, before we went on air, we kind of debated, like, should we reveal that we're live or not live? I don't know how that goes. Do you think listeners feel cheated if we're not live?
Well, I mean, the only reason I'm with you is that, like, we could make some pretty, you know, salty jokes that, like, and then something, like, happen, or Lord knows someone who's in power tweets something and then we look stupid. So we're just warning everybody that we do not know what Wednesday holds. So please forgive us if we are untimely. As always, go ahead.
I know that you and I part ways. Like, I'll sometimes watch football or basketball games recorded. And like a lot of Americans, like to watch them live. But I just didn't know radio. You know, like, someone's driving down the interstate tomorrow, and they're like, oh, I can tell these guys, they're in the past.
Maybe you've watched too many Back to the Future movies.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Ahead. Underwritten, as always, by Mercy College of Health Sciences. You know, just a while ago, Bud, we had our Faith and Healing speaker, the first one on campus, but the other one's coming up quickly. November, I believe that's 9th. But the great thing about that is it's going to be our friend, you and I both know him well, Abraham Nussbaum, who is a doctor. He's a psychiatrist, but he also a book writer. You know, we're starting to get to that age, Bud, you know, where a lot of our friends have kids, but some of them have books, and I don't know which ones behave better.
Or which ones they're prouder of.
That's right. I mean, I guess we'll have to, like, really, like, get him in a corner and see whether he loves his kids or his books more. Also, as always, brought to you by Cartridge World, industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great. Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies, including ink, toner, paper, or printers. Business customers can pick up and deliver, have it delivered. They're both available, and the products are guaranteed full replacement. 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400, and online, cartridgeworld.com. But there's a lot of news that is serious that we're going to cover today, but in not as serious news, I really think that I need to point this out. So you heard with Iowa Catholic Radio's Fall Carathon that we hit our number.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh?
That was awesome. And it sounded like you were manning the microphone quite a bit, so I feel like you contributed to this a little bit.
Well, Bud, since you're saying it and not me, I guess it's not bragging then to point out that John Leonetti was not there for the last 2 hours, and mostly me and Joe Teeling were screaming into the phone, and that seemed to work out. So, yeah.
Well, Joe Teeling was present. That's not fair.
Yeah, that actually is not fair.
A mighty prayer warrior.
Yes,
but just also very convincing.
Right. No, he is a very convincing man. He yesterday, shout out to the Catechetical Institute, was teaching at Faith Journey Catechetical Institute. John Wynn's office puts that on. And Joe Teeling was there, too. And so when you're teaching Joe Teeling, you're always like, you know, you can tell that he's looking at you, and you wonder if he's going to swoop in there and steal the spotlight. But he was very, very nice and let me keep yapping along, Bud. He's a very wonderful man in that regard.
Well, this is funny because it kind of brings together two comments from the intro. You joked about Back to the Future earlier. When I taught at the Catechetical Institute last year, I was talking about how, you know, St. Thomas says that the Mass is a representation of Calvary.
Uh-huh.
And I was just sort of, like, struggling to get, like, the right explanation or metaphor. And Joe Teeling came up to me afterwards and used the movie Back to the Future to do this. And I'd like to relay it on air, but I don't think I can do justice to the way that Joe communicated.
That's right. Well, to show you that God's providence works how it does, I did not come on air planning to talk about Back to the Future, but God seems to keep putting that into our conversations, bud.
There you go.
Well, on much more serious news, unfortunately, just left and right in the news today, there are many serious, serious issues affecting locally our nation and everywhere. Chief among them, the various hurricanes that have hit the Northern Hemisphere. I think we know about what happened in Houston, what happened in Florida, but particularly Hurricane Maria impacted the island of Puerto Rico in a very severe manner. And many people that I've talked to who know people on the island have said that the devastation there is even hard to calculate by other American disaster standards. I don't know, like as we speak, where things stand, but weeks out, there was no power. They've talked about people basically in ICUs around the island have died because of the lack of power, the lack of resources. This is something that is very tragic, and we want to talk about that, talk about how this relates, of course, to something like the common good. But we've also had, we're going to have Ken Bresman on after the break to talk about not only specifics about what we can do to help, but how it is that Catholic Charities or any of these organizations can help in a way. So that's who we're going to talk with today, bud.
Yeah, it's great to have Ken on the show. He's always been gracious with his time and talking to Mercy College's students about the work that Catholic Charities does. So I just am personally appreciative of his friendship, but also the willingness to come on the show and talk about, like you said, you know, really kind of tragic, very sad turn of events, but an opportunity for the church to have this public witness.
So stick around. We'll be back in a minute with The Uncommon Good, speaking with Ken. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo and Bud.
Thank you, Lichtig Family Dentistry, for your support of Dowling Catholic Football Broadcast. Dr. Dave Lichtig brings 31 years of clinical experience and provides all phases of oral care for the entire family, young to old. His new offices feature state-of-the-art equipment with a small town feel. Dr. Dave and his friendly, experienced staff care for you like your family. Located down the hill from Wellman's Pub and the Funny Bone in the village of Ponderosa, 580 Market Street, Suite 102, West Des Moines, 515-493-0500. Online at Dr. Dave D.
Here is your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. We're going to start to ramp up our chances for wet weather again through tonight, but keeping it with fair weather conditions for the rest of today, or high up to 70. Widely scattered showers and a thunderstorm may form through the latter half of tonight, or low into the upper 50s, and then a higher in chance for showers and possible thunderstorms that may produce some heavier rainfall tomorrow. The weather is brought to you by Divine Treasure Catholic Book and Gift Store, celebrating 25 years of service to the greater Des Moines community. I'm Jennifer Naramore on Iowa Catholic Radio.
We're back with The Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner here with Bud Marr. Our guest today is Ken Bresnan, Catholic Charities Parish Outreach Liaison. Ken has been a great friend of Bud and I because he's not only appearing on our show now, but he's several times came and spoken with our Servant Leadership class at Mercy College. Ken, great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be here. I'm glad we finally got the other guy out of the state.
Yeah.
So we can just enjoy each other without him being around.
Well, he is on air. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Ken, one of the things that working for Catholic Charities always must seem in some ways like a double-edged sword as it is. You get to do wonderful, great things. You get to be a conduit to God's mercy, but that also means that all of the human need that we come up against, you get to see this sort of firsthand or hear about it. What we wanted to talk about today is the tragedy affecting Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. We were wondering if you could maybe set the scene about what is going on there and the difficulties the people on the island are facing.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Now, like most Americans, I'm kind of geographically inept. And so I like to start by telling people that Puerto Rico is south of Florida.
Yes.
You know, it's down there. It's an island surrounded by water. It has 3.4 million people on it. And to give you just a comparison, Iowa only has 3.1 million people, so a few more than Iowa. Mm-hmm. Its church structure is very good, very Catholic. There's six dioceses on that island.
Oh, wow.
You know, so we know that. So I'll talk about that. But then also at the same time, 40 miles away is another U.S. territory called the Virgin Islands. Here again, most of us aren't familiar with the collective term. That's a St. Croix, St. John, and St. Thomas that most people hear of as being tourist attractions and places to vacation. So these places were hit with a horrific hurricane, Maria. And it pretty much knocked everything down and out. So we've been involved with the recovery. I'll explain how that goes. But just picture if you have, well, I'm sitting here in Des Moines, Iowa, and Ankeny is probably about 18 miles away. And we have places in Puerto Rico where you can't possibly get those 18 miles because trees are down, flooding is still occurring, and other things. The other thing that happens is a real problem with what they call connectivity. All the cell phone towers,
right,
or most of them pretty much went, so no one could call to see what was going on. So not only in some cases after days went on, help was on the ground, not only could we not get it to the area, we still could not tell them that it was there in that regard.
I know that with a few of my friends who have family in Puerto Rico, that they were saying that basically people were taking turns with the few communication resources that they had and were just basically calling out people in the United States to hope that they could, you know, hear from them.
Yeah, you know, I saw on Facebook one of my friends and another one I kept getting emails from, you know, my, I'm an international order of the grandparents to give you an idea of my age.
Yeah.
But, you know, their adult children were down there, and it was like the fourth day before they heard, and that was tremendous anguish on both sides, not knowing what's going on, not being able, knowing that you were still alive, to tell your folks what it was going. So we have all of that. So that's what we run into. And that'll give you some idea what it's like. You know, they're islands, they're out there. And their territories in the United States, which means the Catholic Charities will handle them. There's other islands around there that are international islands. They're not part of the United States. Our international agency, Catholic Relief Services, which many people donate, and I hope more do, handles all of those.
Right.
And they're also the ones that are working in Mexico, as we had the problem there. But the questions you asked me were about Puerto Rico. Have to understand a little bit about Catholic Charities. Catholic Charities is organized pretty much by diocese. Okay, we formed together a national organization. So I work for Catholic Charities of Des Moines. All of us together have a national organization which handles disaster relief. It uses very much solidarity with the people, dignity of the people, the understanding the people closest can do the best.
Right.
So we all get together when we're asked now to raise money. And at this point, just through the social media campaign, Catholic Charities USA, for the three hurricanes, I've still got Florida, still got Houston, and that has raised $7 million. The cash, almost 100%, goes right to the Catholic Charities in that area that knows where to use it, what is needed, assesses the situation. A little bit is held back, and I'll explain what that's for. It's nothing to do with administration or anything like that or the regular budget. All the money that people give, either by going to Catholic Charities USA, you know, just Google it on the website. You can donate that way. I'll give a number here after a while. You can do it on your cell phone. You know, all those different ways. It's going to the people that need it.
Right.
Interesting, the Catholic Charities in Puerto Rico is called Caritas de Puerto Rico, and we have Catholic Charities of the Virgin Islands.
Right.
So we're working through them. The bishops, of course, are working very closely with their organizations to get the money where they need it there. We do hold a small bit of that money back because one of the things that Catholic Charities organizations do is we'll send people from our staffs to disaster areas if we can. Many have sent, many agencies have sent a person or two to Florida, to Houston. No one can quite get to Puerto Rico and get in. So we're doing that. And what does the money go for? You know, it starts right away with water, with food, with flashlights, with portable generators, the things that somebody needs right away and that type of thing. Because that's the first thing we're interested in. The first thing you do is you go and If you're thirsty, give something to drink. If you're hungry, give them something to eat.
Right.
The second thing is you assess the situation and see what to do. We'll then work into a large recovery thing, because we're looking usually at 4 or 5 years when something like this happened for them to really get back to normal.
Right.
I can talk more, but I can take questions, whatever you like, Bo and Bud.
Well, I think that one thing that's interesting that you bring up that people really should keep in mind is that when we talk about water and the necessity of water, if you – our water systems depend so much on electricity in modern infrastructure that if you are going to have continuing problems with electricity, potable water, water that you can drink, is of the utmost necessity. I think people from Des Moines, to make a special plea out to our memories, you know, that was what was going on with the 1993 flood in Des Moines, is that a lot of things were returning to normal, but since the water treatment plant was out of commission, that meant continual need to bring water in, boil it, things like this. And so if you can imagine that sort of disaster, but on an island-wide scale, it seems to me that's the sort of issues with water that are attached to the profound outlay of needing to fix electricity.
And there's been a lot of problems. I also, you know, read up on the FEMA website. I'll talk a little bit about that. There was damage at the airport. So there's been trouble when relief supplies are ready, getting them to an island in this regard. The Virgin Islands are a little better shape. Their water treatment plants are back up and running now.
Okay, good.
I have not seen any reports of if they're up and going on
Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico. Yeah. It really is kind of interesting because, you know, you always think of people don't have any food, they don't have any water. We see where the roofs of the houses are all bashed in. All these type of things, but there's parts of the infrastructure that we never really quite get a good handle on, and one of which is the most interesting is the hospitals.
Right.
And I might be off just a little bit. No, I've got it, and I will. I think there were 57 hospitals, 69 hospitals in Puerto Rico. 44 of these, they've got back up to being operational.
Okay, good.
Half the dialysis units that they had in the country are still not functional.
Oh, man.
So if you know somebody on dialysis and how far they go, things like this we usually don't think of,
right,
which everybody's working on in that regard. I do want to give a shout out to our federal government. This, remember, we're talking Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands, part of the United States territories, are sending all kinds of people down there. I was just reading where I thought it seemed like a small number of people. There were 34 crews with chainsaws. And that was just ones that have been borrowed from the U.S. Forestry Service that were sent down there to do this. So they'll do whatever it is to get things going in that regard. Let's see, what else can I tell you? As people donate the money goes straight to those agencies, and they're out figuring out what to do. Because you can't tell from somewhere else what's going on down there. The connectivity's been the biggest problem. We have been able to talk with Father Enrique Canacho, who was the director of Catholic Charities in Puerto Rico. And I don't want him to speak. The national staff has been able to talk with him.
Right.
And he says, you know, he just can't talk with his staff. They can't talk with people because the cell phone towers are down. So that's the first thing they're doing. They're getting the water in there. They're getting the food in there. They get real frustrated when they can't fly things in. They get real frustrated when they have to wait for somebody to try and open a road.
Right.
What amazed him is when they start talking to people, and Father talks about dealing with some people who's lost everything. And they say, I have at the moment. Please give this to my neighbor. He needs it more than I do. And, you know, Father says, your heart just kind of melts when you hear that. A lot of the families that lost everything were smiling and happy to greet their staff. What it is, something you can't imagine. People pull together in those situations. They're all in it together.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. We are speaking with Ken Bresnan, Catholic Charities Parish Outreach Liaison. Bud, is there anything you wanted to ask Ken why we still have him here?
Yeah, Ken, my wife Rachel kind of gently kids me sometimes about having my head in the clouds, and guilty as charged. But you gave us a great a great overlay of sort of like the practical issues in Puerto Rico right now in the Virgin Islands. And I guess what I was thinking about some is that when all of this was taking place, you know, a lot of the conversation in the United States centered around or revolved around football players kneeling during the national anthem. And I'm not saying that's a conversation that's never to be had, but I just know for myself that there's so many sort of other distractions in life that can kind of take us away from, you know, thinking about the real material needs that people face. And I guess for yourself as a liaison to parish communities, how do you challenge Catholics here in Iowa to keep that sort of like the kind of broader attention to some of these matters? And also, how does Catholic Charities, I guess, balance local concerns with kind of like international issues?
Well, let's see. I don't think your show was 9.5 hours, so it'd be hard to answer
right.
Everything.
Just real brief, Ken.
No, it isn't. We have a culture in a society that lets us misdirect our thoughts all the time. It's a whole lot easier to talk about a bunch of professional athletes and their behavior, and we could talk about that for hours. It's hard to talk about the fact that there's people no different than you or I that we can't see that might not have dinner this evening. We'd kind of like to avoid that. The only way that I found is to be able to focus best is it really does have to start with some prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If your day has started with prayer, or if you can come up with some prayer, if you take a look at the good book every once in a while, as we call it, it'll kind of pull you back, because we're, as you understand our history, coming from the Jewish tradition, where the care of the widow and the orphan was what they really stressed. Because thinking back to the Old Testament, and yes, I am older, but I was not here at that time, it was a male-dominated society. If the husband and the father died, the woman and the child had absolutely nothing. There was no Catholic charities back then, no Jewish charities back then,
right.
Or, you know, whatever the appropriate term should be. So everybody had to help eye to eye and see. We've grown into a bigger world. A lot of the help we need, and what I'm asking for people today to give money, you don't see what's going to happen. So if you're not careful, you just avoid those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit down at night and say, a terrible thing has happened, I'm going to write a check for $20 and send it in. And then I'll talk for 3 hours about the behavior of some professional athletes.
No, that's, Ken, I think that's really right. I love how you, I mean, when we're having debates like about the appropriate stance during the national anthem, I feel like part of what we're driving at is, like, as a people or as a country, what's our identity? What's our DNA? And I love the way that you put that, where in the Jewish tradition and then later picked up by the prophets and by, you know, the apostles, it's really like, are you seeking justice? You know, the poor, the widow, the orphan in your midst, are they taken care of? And that's kind of a barometer of, you know, of justice in a nation or in a community.
And I think that it's important, Ken, and I think that's what you're getting at too. In our midst, of course, we want to talk about local. This is why Catholic Charities has local instantiation and diocese. But then, of course, so that's subsidiarity, but solidarity means that we, when we need to respond in a coordinated way, that we can do so as well. And Puerto Rico is in our midst. I mean, that's something that maybe gets lost, is they aren't the 51st state technically, but they are ours. The Puerto Rican people are the people of the United States. And just because it might be a little off kilter, so to speak, about your conception, because it's not one of the stars on the flag, those are our people. And we should hold ourselves to a high standard to say we're letting Americans have those difficulties, and we should feel a call to action, and that should be a part of our identity, that we can't sit by and let something like that happen.
Yeah, you know, our identity is based on how we treat the other,
mm-hmm.
and we've always, as a country, been pretty good at that. You know, everybody says in World War II we went out and fought for other people. I've always felt it wasn't really the war that really made us what as great as we were, as what we did afterwards for the countries that were affected and all of that. So as long as we here in the country can keep our focus on the other and their needs, I think we're going to be in good shape. But it's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. I do tell people, if you just go dig in any part of Scripture you want, you don't go long in Isaiah or Job or tons of others where it's talk about the widow, the poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. That's exactly what we're talking about today, and they're talking about that back in Isaiah. Then we swing into the New Testament for the famous lines, you know, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. It's exactly what we're talking about today, and we need money to do that because we can't take food over there ourselves.
So would you mind letting – you were talking about a phone number that you were going to let people know of. Let's, can we make sure as we're closing in on the first break that we can bring up some of these numbers, websites, and places people can go to donate?
Yeah, just Google Catholic Charities USA. It'll tell you how to donate online. Mm-hmm. The phone number you can do right off your cell is 800-919-9338. 800-919-9338. And I believe you can text money in that way. Cash is king. One of the problems we have with disasters, everybody says, oh, everybody needs anything. I think I'll send something. If you would try and send clothing, which would be needed maybe later, it just clogs up the transportation devices that are trying to get water and food there, and they have no way to distribute it over there at this time. Right. That's down the road. We might be talking about that.
Yeah, 1-800-919-9338 or Google Catholic Charities USA. And I think that's a really good reminder. I know that you're maybe you make a great fruit pie or you're worried about a kid not having a toy. But I think we have many instances and many articles that back this up that many times in disasters, the sort of things or the stuff we send often get put in warehouses where they don't actually get used. I know that people are worried, well, if I just send a check, it seems impersonal, or if I just send money, it seems impersonal. But this is the raw material where people on the ground will know how to use it best. So it's not a matter of you being abstract about your giving. It's a matter of putting the power in the hands of the local people to decide where, how the money's best used. And so that's subsidiarity, a matter of social justice in that regard.
If the hurricane, I live in Indianola, had hit Norwalk,
right,
which I think is safe from hurricanes,
yeah, right.
I could take water to Norwalk.
Right.
I cannot take water to Puerto Rico. And that's why we have to ask for money, the device that helps us be able to do that.
Well, if I could give a quick plug, Bo, Ken was always great about helping our students to find service opportunity in Des Moines. And so I've always thought, Bo, I love the way you put it about bridging subsidiarity and solidarity, or bringing those two together. You know, there is the temptation sometimes to send a check and then, clap your hands together and say, my job here is done. A beautiful thing about a place like Des Moines is that we are a refugee center, a place that's welcoming of immigrants and refugees. And so if you want to kind of bridge that or bring together subsidiarity and solidarity, I think it can involve this kind of concrete help towards the Puerto Ricans, but then also reaching out to Catholic Charities and saying, what can I do here in my own community? Whether that's with refugees or the homeless or, mothers in crisis situations, things like that. And then you put flesh on that charity that kind of compelled you to write the check.
Yeah, Ken, do you, if you wouldn't mind real quick, we're coming up on the next break, but if you places people could volunteer locally or where they could go look to find other places to volunteer.
Okay, Catholic Charities of Des Moines, you can Google that and you'll see what we do. Basically, in this area, quickly, we have three places. We have our emergency family shelter that houses up to 10 families at one time. We can always use volunteers there to help, volunteers to cook and bring in dinner every evening. Our outreach center, which has our food pantry, always uses volunteers to pass out the food and to help in that. Our refugee resettlement program always uses volunteers to help us collect furniture, put the furniture in the apartment, set up apartment, helps people learn how to use the bus route, helps people do every facet of life, and some points it's just being a friend. The thing I always say, if you came to this country, don't really speak this language, and we have your children in the school, I think one of the most scariest things in the world would be to go to your first parent-teacher conference alone. Mm-hmm. There's always something you can do. Please look us up on the internet or give us a call.
Well, that's Ken Bresnan, Catholic Charities Parish Outreach Liaison. Ken, it's been fantastic to have you on the show. I know Bud and I were always imagining how we'd get you here, but unfortunately it's because of a great tragedy that we're doing this show, the Hurricane Maria, in Puerto Rico. But like I said, every difficulty that the church faces is another opportunity to be moments of resurrection in people's lives. So thank you for coming on the show.
It's our pleasure, you know, because this does draw us in to being what Christians really are. It helps us reinforce that. We pretty much do have that obligation to help when we can, to think of the other.
Well, we thank you very much. And just one more time, 1-800-919-9338. If you want to call Catholic Charities and donate towards the hurricane relief funds, but also if you just Google Catholic Charities USA, you can do that as well. This is the Uncommon Good. Stick around. We'll be back after the break with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud.
Thank you, Divine Treasures, for your support of our new Storm Alert weather package. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store celebrating 25 years of serving the Des Moines community. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures, where you find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. 5701 Hickman Road in Des Moines, 515-255-5230. That's 515-255-5230.
Support for the Uncommon Good is provided by Cartridge World. Cartridge World is an industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great.
Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies including ink, toner, paper, or printers. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available. Products are guaranteed or full replacement.
Cartridge World, your low-cost, environmentally friendly printing experts. 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights. 515-564-7400 and online at cartridgeworld.com. We're back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. We had the privilege of speaking with Ken Bresnan, Catholic Charities Parish Outreach Liaison. But he wanted me to remind you that he never liked you anyway.
Fair enough. Yeah, that works.
Ken's old school tough love. That's why we love him. And no, actually, he's an absolute sweetheart, a wonderful guy. He would come in and give wonderful talks like he did the first half of our show to people. And so it was great to have him. Just to remind people, for numbers wise, if you really are looking forward to giving and helping out with the hurricane relief funds, not only in Puerto Rico, but basically everything that's been hitting North America lately. That number is 1-800-919-9338, 1-800-919-9338, or you can Google Catholic Charities USA. And, you know, but I know it seems like we just got done with an entire week of asking people for money for the show. And it's absolutely true, and we're very gracious and full of gratitude that people have decided to be a part of our ministry and give to the show. But I think I'm always impressed by the generosity of our listeners, and this is another way for you to be a part of the ministry of the Catholic Church. Catholic Charities USA does so much, and especially when it comes time to show solidarity for those victims of difficult situations like the aftermath of these hurricanes, especially Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. So again, it's not just you giving money, it's you participating in the outreach of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you have something that you could sail down to Puerto Rico and help with, you know, Godspeed. But for a lot of us, money is the best thing we can give at this time, because that allows, in subsidiarity, the people on the ground to decide what they need to buy for themselves.
Yeah, Bo, as Ken was talking, I thought it really did coalesce with a lot of the themes that we've dealt with on the show. And, you know, I hope sometimes when we talk about these matters that I don't leave the impression that the response is simplistic. Like, you know, the Bible says help the poor, we've got this real problem, therefore call this phone number. But I do think, like you were kind of intimating, that when serious tragedies like this happen, it really does call a response from us, a response of faith. And, you know, I sometimes have heard people say, like, well, shouldn't the church focus on saving souls, not on charity? You know, this kind of thought process. But the great thing about the Catholic faith is it's not an either-or religion, but it's a religion of the both and. And you see this with a situation where, you know, people are without drinking water and things like that, where, as Ken was quoting our Lord, that, like, our kind of active response insofar as we're able is, you know, a testimony to the grace that God's extended to us.
1-800-919-9338 or Google Catholic Charities USA. And they have it set up where you can donate for the Hurricane Relief Fund. And I'm pretty sure that fund is for all three, what has hit Texas and Florida, but most recently Puerto Rico. And, you know, Ken was giving a sobering description about what was going on. The hospitals that, like you said, the dialysis machines that have still not been running for a long time. I know insulin is a big problem. There's all these things that infrastructure-wise we don't think about. He was pointing it out. What did he say? Like, did he say 5 to 6 years that Catholic Charities will be helping with some of these disasters to help them getting back to normal? It's a long process, but it all starts with these first steps of us aiding in their recovery. And, you know, in our gratitude, if we have extra, the Lord and the church calls us to think about those others. So 1-800-919-9338, and also Catholic Charities USA, if you just want to Google that.
Bo, stepping back for a moment and thinking about some of these things theologically, how have you personally kind of wrestled with, you know, like we talk about theodicy or the problem of evil in our lives, and I know in some ways it's easier to look at human freedom and to say, like, look, human beings are sinful, and there's actions that they do that cause evil or harm in the world. But with something like natural disasters, it's a little bit more difficult to explain to people, right? Even, like, thinking about how do we talk to our children about Hurricane Maria. Have you worked through some of those questions in your own life?
I like that you, you know, saved the easy questions for me and didn't ask Ken the theodicy questions. No, I think it's multi-layered. You know, maybe this is me evading the question initially, but the first thing I always tell people is, as someone who always counts himself as a pessimist, I am never surprised by evil because I've been to the DMV and or I've stood in line at Taco Bell and I, you know, evil's just getting ready to break out around the corner. I've never been surprised that people would act wicked to each other. I'm always surprised by good. To me, the most amazing thing, just reading a lot of history and how cruel humans can be to each other, I'm always amazed about how good, almost without any prompting, pops up all over the place. And I see that, too, when it comes to things like natural disasters, how, you know, maybe someone who lived their entire life, you know, either under the radar or, you know, maybe if we look at their biography, they look like they'd be the last person to help out. And then here comes this disaster and it prompts in them something towards the good that they don't even know what's coming. We don't know that it would be coming. As far as just like natural evil, though, you know, you're right. Like, how do we go into this, you know, in an easy way on a show? I do think that God created the world in an ordered manner, and I do believe what the scripture says, that sin entered the world and, so to speak, sent the world off its kilter, so that the things like the powerful forces, like the power of nature, or the power of the passions we have within us, when ordered well in that sort of original peace, they were what propelled the world into its dynamic state, that allowed it to be a non-static world, but a world of movement and in love, everything that people like Dante would point out in poems. It doesn't take much for powerful things, if they're not directed towards good ends, to become evils, not that they're evil in and of themselves, but because they're off-kilter and not directed towards the end in which they were meant to be created. Because they're powerful and they go outside of their ordered lines, that much bad, so to speak, can come from it. And again, I'm making an analogy to the human person. You know, having a free will is a wonderful thing, but a free will not directed towards its proper end can be disastrous. So I guess I'm not surprised that the natural world would be the same way, Bud. And then the final thing I would say is this goes back into God's permissiveness of lack and evil so that good may come from it. And again, if we look at the cross and say that Jesus Christ himself willingly obeyed unto death so that resurrection can come from it. Maybe we're perplexed by the mystery of it, but certainly that must be a feature of our God, that he allows these difficulties, not necessarily choosing them one-on-one for each person, but allows these difficulties so that resurrection and good might come from them.
Well, I really liked what you started with when you were talking about being surprised by joy and surprised by beauty. And, you know, I saw this yesterday with the tragic violence in Las Vegas, and I heard this morning that, you know, there was a line that was miles long, people waiting to donate blood, and, you know, just the goodness that came out of a situation that was obviously horrific and terrible. I know with hurricanes, like especially in that part of the country, you look like at a place like New Orleans, And is it New Orleans or New Orleans?
Depends on where you're at in the United States.
No, I know down in that area of the country that a real devotion to Our Lady of Good Succor or Good Help has really developed and sprung up. And I guess I'm agreeing with you, but I'm not saying like we should punt on these issues or like in the appropriate time not give like a theological account for them. But really, like sometimes in the midst of them, life can seem very confusing, mysterious, or sometimes people will even say senseless. And yet something like that devotion to Our Lady under the title of Our Lady of Good Succor, I mean, just the beauty that the chapels, the devotions, the prayers that have developed over out of that, it's a real testimony and a reminder of God's grace in our lives.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. We're speaking primarily about the disaster from Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, but then also in all of the various hurricanes that have recently hit in North America and ways that you can help. If you want to donate to Catholic Charities, that number again, 1-800-919-9338, or Google Catholic Charities USA. One thing I want to make sure, and I know that like it's always when we're talking about difficult issues like theodicy and the reality of evil, what we're not saying, and I you know, people will shortchange what the church says. What we're not saying is that, you know, the hurricane is worth it so that maybe you give $20. We're not saying anything that ridiculous. Yeah. We're not saying that like the pain of a child is worth whatever good thing that might come from it. But to me, this is getting the order of the question all wrong. What I always ask people is, if there wasn't the faith, if there wasn't this theology that in some way we can complete the sufferings of the cross, if there wasn't this idea that God himself became man and died on a cross in solidarity with what we've gone through, if that's not the case, there's still just the brute fact of suffering. You know, if we're wrong as Christians about what we say about the possible redemptive nature of suffering and how we can participate in it, or that we're wrong that resurrection can come from death, the other option is not that there's no more suffering anymore. There's just bald, ridiculous, senseless suffering. So it's what we're not saying is that all of these things are worth their outcomes. I'm just throwing it back at people and saying, there will be suffering, there will be hurricanes, there will be untimely deaths, but what do we do about it? When we see this in life, what is our response? And all I'm saying is that what the church teaches is there is a response. The response is not just eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow a hurricane might take it all away. What we're saying is even in these worst of moments, that since God himself has came down to be in solidarity with mankind in their great depth of misery, that there must be something profound that can come from that, and profound in a way that on this earth we won't even see the full implications of.
Bo, I've always thought those sort of things call to mind, are there, to me, they're what you might call like evidence or support of the truthfulness of the faith. If you think about a faith that was invented by human beings, it would probably lean towards pie in the sky, where it's like, well, I offer you some sort of like reward at the end or whatever. When you actually dig into the biblical witness and the biblical content, you see both lament and praise, right? And the Bible, the Psalms, our Lord, they never downplay the reality of suffering, but like you said, they call us to enter into that, to take on the cross as Christ did. And that's why, you know, we've talked about this on the show as well with the liturgy. It's really important that our liturgies maintain that kind of like that we sit with Good Friday before moving on to Easter. And I think, you know, with the church calendar, as Catholics, we're gifted with the church calendar, that it leads us through the cycles of human life. It's not just one like happy, clappy, emotional experience, right? But we enter into lament and we come alongside those who are suffering. And it's like we don't, like you're saying, we don't downplay it or try to explain it away. But really try to enter into that.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher coming to you from Mercy Live Up Studio. We've been talking about the disaster that has struck Puerto Rico and the other hurricane recovery efforts, specifically by Catholic Charities. We had Ken Bresnan in earlier. If you are interested in giving to the relief effort, 1-800-919-9338, 1-800-919-9338, and also you can Google Catholic Charities USA. in order to donate and help with the recovery effort. But with all that we're talking about in the theodicy, effort, and what does this mean by the cross, and like everything that you just got done saying, on one hand, that makes me go, okay, so that's why when we give, you know, sometimes people go like, oh, you feel great if you give. But there's also times where you're not going to feel great to give, and it's actually going to hurt a little. And what this is not like some sort of grand scheme to trick you into giving. It's just saying that when we give to our neighbor, when we're supposed to go out and love, sometimes people make it act like, well, if you just treat people nice, you're going to feel better. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to give to people, and sometimes you will not get that love back in return. You're going to give to maybe a charity and not see an immediate outcome from it. You know, Ken was talking about 5 to 6 years of investment. But this goes down to also the nuts and bolts of the civic order as well. You really don't understand how much sacrifice and sort of just constant little pains in the necks it takes to have a city, to have a social order, until it's all taken away. So, you know, Ken was pointing out, if these hospitals don't have electricity, they can't do dialysis. If they don't have, you know, generators to run their water purification plants, they can't have water. But you think about that, but the sort of, you know, nagging difficulties that it takes to have civic life. What about a sewer? What about a road? What about sidewalks? What do you do when all the roofs are blown off of buildings? What do you do when there's no public space? Where are you going to have school for these kids? What are you going to do when they're behind a year? What are you going to do when you can't get medicine? And you start to see just this sort of nagging weight of all the small things we have to do. And then you realize that it goes back to our question about theodicy. Either these are just these sort of, you know, the horrible price that we have to pay in order to sort of live life together, or these are the small, willing sacrifices of community that we die to ourselves a little bit to be reborn into an actual body, a body of Christ. And so whether it's giving, like we said, you can give 1-800-919-9338 to help with recovery efforts, or if it's doing something in your own community, those little deaths, the white martyrdoms that we're called to every day, is the source of actually having a communion, a real community, rather than just an aggregation of people.
Well, Bo, I hope this isn't going too far afield. I'll give it a shot here. Like, for me, this goes back to the idea that the Catholic faith gives us hope and not optimism, right?
Right.
And you even think about Jesus, and he was pure love here in human community, and ultimately he was crucified. Now, we shouldn't extrapolate from that, you know, like, oh, all of our efforts are always going to come to naught or something like that, right? But you're saying, like, we can't guarantee certain outcomes. And I think our Lord faced a similar temptation in the desert when Satan said, why don't you turn these stones to bread? And it's sort of like that would have been the quick fix, the kind of, like, miraculous provision of people's needs. But Jesus knew that his mission was to go to the cross. And when he loved unconditionally, that was the human response. That was sin. But like you kind of talked about earlier, God raised up new life out of that death, right? Like unless a seed of wheat falls to the ground and dies, you know, like new life can't come out of it. And so as Christians, we preach that hope, and we're on the front line, so to speak, of some of these efforts. We also recognize that our kingdom is not of this world, and that in the intervening time, we'll always be frustrated or longing for the kingdom to come, where not only like sin won't burden human relationships, but we will be free from things like natural disasters.
No, and I think that that's a good reminder to have. You think about, okay, well, Puerto Rico gets hit by hurricanes, you know, frequently compared to what was Ken saying, Newton, Iowa. You know, why do we rebuild there? Well, you can keep going down the list, right? So, like, why rebuild in Oklahoma? There will be another tornado. Why rebuild in California? There will be another earthquake. Why rebuild here? Why, you know, fires, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, this starts to be, you know, why you'll read, like, the ancient pagans, and you can see the sort of fatalism that creeps in. Because if all our only hope is that we build a building strong enough to stand for 6,000 years, all but the most random buildings have all succumbed to time, and those buildings that still stand are columns at best, as it were. And to give that as an example is to say, if our human efforts were only based on their survivability in this world, you can understand how people go all French existentialist on us and start smoking long cigarettes and saying, you know, poems that don't rhyme. Because when you look at it that way, really everything seems to come to naught, except for we believe, like you said, in this hope that the efforts that we make, even if they're frustrated immediately, or if they're maybe it takes a little bit longer for them to be frustrated, we're giving them to people who have eternal souls. And those eternal souls, so to speak, bear within them the mark of that charity and kindness much longer. And then we think about it in terms of God, whose memory never dies out, it never forgets. Then we realize it's not just a matter of scoring points with the big guy, which sometimes people act like that's what charity is, but it's when we act charitable to our fellow humans, we're actually making monuments in the heart of God that can stand forever. And I mean, I think that's the beautiful way to think that. When we give alms, you know, St. Ephrem the Assyrian says, to the poor, it's like offering an offering on the altar of God's hands, that it will never go away because in God's heart it will exist forever. And so even though every donation that you will give will eventually be used up, or there will be more need for more rebuilding, etc., to give out of the love of your heart and without any grumbling at all is in a way to create a monument in the heart of God that will exist in eternity forever. And so if you want to contribute to those efforts, just a reminder again, Catholic Charities USA is taking donations for the relief effort of the hurricanes that hit Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. And that number is 1-800-919-9338, 1-800-919-9338. And if you Google Catholic Charities USA, that is another way for you to make those donations.
Well, you use the phrase monuments in the heart of God, and I know journeying into the Catholic Church, I was always struck by the monuments on this earth that the Church has produced, whether that's cathedrals or artwork or settings of the Mass. And I think from outsiders, sometimes those things can look superfluous. Like if you follow this humble Savior, you know, why expend so many resources on something like a church building? I came to see it, I think, through the eyes of faith as a testimony to the incarnational nature of our faith. And the Church's ministry through hospitals, through schools, and yes, through beautiful artwork and beautiful buildings, it's a testimony to the fact that the Word became flesh. And I don't know, Bo, maybe you'll shame me for this one, but I've always thought in my own life, like, it's tough for me to even think about turning off the switch of faith. I think that, you know, by the grace of God, a kind of abiding trust in God's been given to me. But I felt like even if I could step into the shoes of like someone who's agnostic, I think I would be struck by, like, you go through Europe and you see these monumental cathedrals and like what inspired people to sacrifice in that way and to build these buildings. And is there any other culture? Certainly I don't think like our contemporary sort of like materialistic culture that has replicated that or even, you know, competed with it. Do you kind of get what I'm driving at?
No, I agree completely. And you know, people will do that. They go, oh, well, you build all these cathedrals. And it's true. You could imagine an entire civilization that just wanted to, like, show off, like, yeah, look at my you know, boss cathedral. I'm assuming that they say 80s terms back then. But I always have understood it, especially since when you find out that so many of those cathedrals were made by people who knew they would not live to see its completion, that really those are standing monuments to gifts they gave their children and their children's children, right? That their idea was, we're giving a resource that we ourselves will not be able to fully enjoy, but some future generation will. And you think about that, right? That a culture that will give in the hopes of giving to people they will never see, versus maybe our culture that's creating problems for our grandchildren that we have not even the foggiest clue about how they'll resolve them, that we keep kicking the can down the road on all sorts of issues because we would rather not deal with them. We would rather let our great-grandchildren deal with them. I mean, that just sounds just wretched compared to these people who were like, I'm going to build on this 400-year endeavor to leave these cathedrals for my great-great-children and their great-great-grandchildren, etc. So monuments not only in time demonstrate this, but like you said, they're a testament to the incarnational nature that God took on flesh, but that also is fully God and fully eternal. And so those efforts we make, even though they are in the clay vessels of our lives. They have a spiritual and eternal nature as well, so that if you want to give in a way not only to help alleviate the material suffering of someone right now, to heal the wounds as our Savior did, but also to leave a monument in the heart of God about the common charity that brothers and sisters in the faith have, 1-800-919-9338 is a way to do so. 1-800-919-9338, Catholic Charities USA. And you can also Google Catholic Charities USA to leave a donation. Well, Bud, we're running out of time. Do you have any thoughts that you want to wrap up the show with?
Since we're getting near the end of the show, if I could make a shameless plug, I'll be back in the Midwest this weekend. So on Sunday evening at 7 p.m., I'm giving a talk in Lincoln, Nebraska at Gianna's Java and Gelato. So there's gelato involved. But it's going to be on a contemporary perspective on the Protestant Reformation, how a movement that erupted 5 centuries ago continues to shape the cultural, religious, and political landscape today. I know that's kind of a drive for folks in Iowa, but I wanted to throw that out there. I'll be at least passing through Des Moines, so I'll try to kiss the ground at a local rest stop.
That sounds good.
Well, maybe not a rest stop.
Will you be having gelato in both of your hands? Like, will you have gelato that represents, like, Martin Luther and the various factions in the Reformation?
This almond gelato is representative of the Calvinist wing of the Reformation. I think that might start to irk the listeners if I kept, like, taking a bite in between points.
Yeah.
They're like, but I do like the fact that it's named after Gianna, one of my daughters, but also a great saint, Gianna Mola.
There you go. I like the idea that someone's like, why do the Armenians have to be a pistachio? Like, you can start the Reformation all over again because of the random gelato flavors that you chose. Oh, well.
It could get confusing fast.
Yeah, you're like, wait, no. Peach gelato.
Disregard that last flavor.
Is, yeah.
Hold on, peach gelato is what?
I was joking. Yeah, you were getting confused. Yeah, Methodist peach gelato. So folks, you gave graciously and wonderfully with a Carathon last week, but always remember us, a nonprofit trying to bring you the ministry of Jesus Christ here in Iowa. So always keep in mind and remember us whenever you're feeling in a giving mood. Like we said, if you're giving to Puerto Rico and those places hit by these devastating hurricanes, 1-800-919-9338, 1-800-919-9338, or Google Catholic Charities USA. We have the rosary every day. We have the Bible in a Year at 5 a.m. We have all sorts of wonderful local shows and then our national feed as well. We want to express our gratitude for you all helping us reach our goal last week. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to be a part of the ministry with you. So may Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts, in our families, in our city, in our state, very much so in Puerto Rico, in the Las Vegas, and the various places that are heavy hearts this week, in our nation, in the entire world. May God's peace truly reign with us. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Tune in next week, Wednesday. We will see you then. God bless.